Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and for decades now, community gardens and backyards have been encouraging a new kind of urban growth in New York City. More recently, we've heard about some empty lots being turned into neat rows of carrots and leafy greens, and about schoolyards going through the same transformation. Community-supported agriculture, or CSAs, providing members with a box of fresh produce for a price. Then there's the rooftop garden craze, with farms in Brooklyn and Long Island City growing everything from arugula to tomatoes to mustard greens and fennel with the backdrop of the New York skyline. And to that landscape, add the green glow now of business. Green as in dollars, a 15,000-square-foot greenhouse operation in North Brooklyn called Gotham Greens is selling $4 packages of lettuce and herbs at major supermarkets like Whole Foods and also through Fresh Direct. The visions and promises of locally grown produce for profit are moving beyond schematics and computer-generated images and into the realm of reality in the five boroughs. Joining me now to talk about the business side of urban agriculture and where it can go is June Commissar, architect and associate professor in the Department of Architectural Science at Ryerson University and co-author of a new book called Carrot City, Creating Places for Urban Agriculture. She's in Toronto. Hello from New York, June.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
And here in our studio is Viraj Puri, co-founder and CEO of Gotham Greens, the greenhouse facility in Greenpoint in Brooklyn.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. Viraj, anyone who has walked into the produce section at Whole Foods in the last few months might have seen these packages of Gotham Greens lettuce or herbs. It's a much bigger scale than a lot of the other farming projects that we've seen in New York City, which have been maybe selling to a few restaurants that specialize in locally grown stuff or with weekly farmers markets through the CSAs. So tell us about the scale of Gotham Greens and what your business model is.
Absolutely. Well, it's a little bit more ambitious than some of the other community-supported agriculture projects and rooftop farms that you mentioned earlier in the segment. My partners and I had a vision to create a commercial-scale agricultural venture. Now, we are about 15,000 square feet in a controlled environment agriculture greenhouse. So that's equivalent to about 5 or 6 acres out in the field. Now, that's still a drop in the bucket. That's still very, very small relative to large-scale agriculture or even medium-scale agriculture. That being said, we still thought 15,000 square feet was a good enough size to provide a meaningful amount of produce to retailers and restaurants across the city.
There's another big example in your neighborhood in Greenpoint. Eagle Street Farms was one of the first of these rooftop farms, and it's a few blocks away. Plus, there's Brooklyn Grange. You don't mind me mentioning the competitors, right? Which is Brooklyn Grange is strangely in Long Island City, which is in Queens. Is there something about that area? It has a lot of manufacturing space, a lot of older warehouses. Is it a coincidence that this is where the New York City agribusiness district is coming into being?
I think it's what you mentioned about the real estate available there. We're talking about low-rise buildings with large footprints, with a lot of unused space. Manhattan tends to be a little bit more dense, taller structures with smaller footprints in agriculture. It's all about the economies of scale. You want as much size as possible.
But you're also not out in Eastern Queens, which is generally a greener place, or, you know, Staten Island, whatever.
True.
The Bronx is a very green borough, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We almost built one in Jamaica, Queens. That was actually our first location. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that site fell through due to some unforeseen circumstances, but Brooklyn is close to Manhattan. That's where I live. But we climbed around a lot of rooftops, and it's difficult to find the right one. There's a number of variables that go into finding it: zoning, code, being structurally big enough, having a landlord that's willing to have a farm operation on the roof. So,
hey June, here's a question that a listener has already posted on our website that I guess could apply to urban agriculture in any city, and it says, how do eaters know the food is not coated in city-related toxins? Any rules around this, including non-organic or organic? The person writes, personally, I group them in the same category as foreign-grown food, that is, big unknown.
Well, I think in a controlled environment like a greenhouse, such as Gotham Greens, it won't be coated with any sort of urban soot or anything like that, because it's in a very controlled environment and therefore very pure. Lufa Farms in Montreal, when I visited there, they even make visitors put on one of these clean suits and those little booties and hats to go into the greenhouse, because they don't want anything going into the greenhouse to bother the vegetables.
You include several examples in your book of urban agriculture as a business. Eli Zabar's Vinegar Factory, the gourmet market on the Upper East Side, which grows vegetables on the half acre of roof space that it has and has been selling them in his market for over a decade now. Is this catching on with other supermarkets? That's pretty directly sourced, that one.
Yes, it's amazing. And he's way ahead of the curve. He really started this very early. I don't know of very many supermarkets that are doing this. There's one in Toronto that has a small rooftop garden but not a greenhouse. But a lot of hotels and restaurants in New York City, even with very tiny roofs in Manhattan, they're starting to grow their own vegetables. The Gramercy Park Hotel, the whole Fairmont Hotel chain all over the world is growing some vegetables, lots of salad greens and herbs for all of their restaurants in the hotels below.
Somehow, by the way, I'm sure a million of you caught this. Somehow my tongue said Zabar's was on the Upper East Side.
Oh, when I
know full well that they're at 80th, 81st and Broadway there. So, Viraj, are you finding that this is viable as a business when you break down the startup costs and energy costs and insurance costs and the cost of land in New York City as opposed to a farm upstate somewhere? How's it working out?
So far, so good. Certainly, the capital cost is quite high up front, but so far, so good. We're doing a lot of our own distribution, which makes things a little bit easier. And just that freshness, that really good quality, being able to do that year-round, I think is very exciting. I think if we were limited just to summer growing, a little bit in the shoulder seasons in the spring and the fall, I think we would find it difficult. But being able to grow consistently and reliably 12 months of the year, I think makes this financially viable.
So there's a cost-benefit analysis to using soil versus hydroponics?
Well, we're in a hydroponic system, which I believe the yields are a little bit higher. It allows for a few more harvests that you can do a year compared to more conventional soil farming. So I think to be a little bit more profitable, I believe hydroponics might be a little bit
June, better. Do you want to weigh in on that? And for people who don't really know what hydroponics is and are thinking, wait, you can grow in something other than soil? What does that mean?
Well, hydroponics is growing basically in water. There's something to hold the water. I don't know exactly how you describe it. Like a little, is it charcoal based? What is holding the water? I'll throw that to.
There's a number of different ways to grow hydroponically. Yeah. There's a number of different systems. Some of them have what we call substrates, which is like a soil substitute that could be made up of a number of different things: stones, cocoa peat, a variety of things, or it can be grown without a substrate, which is just in water itself. So plants don't need soil per se. What plants need are sunlight, water, carbon dioxide, oxygen, and nutrients. If you can provide all of those to the plants, they don't really need soil.
And I've seen reports regarding profitability in Crane's New York business that Eagle Street Farms is breaking even on crops in Brooklyn with annual revenues of about $1.25 or $1.50 per square feet. And you have like 25 employees, don't you?
That's correct.
So you're creating jobs. You're hiring farm workers in New York City.
Yes, it's a combination of skilled and unskilled labor, certainly. Controlled environment agriculture and hydroponics does require a great deal of technical skill. We're very lucky to have a very, very sort of sophisticated staff that has an academic and professional background in controlled environment agriculture. But you're right. We are creating a number of jobs, whether it's delivery, distribution, packing, tending to the greenhouse, et cetera.
And ultimately, is it cheaper than going out to Suffolk County and raising the same thing?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. we definitely wanted to do this in the city, so I don't have a lot of experience in farming sort of in the traditional sense, so I don't know, but I do believe the startup costs are definitely higher. I think it's cheaper to get a couple acres in Suffolk County or Rockland County.
So you're doing this partly to make money and partly as a source of city pride?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're all New Yorkers, and our company is called Gotham Greens, and we think it's really exciting for New Yorkers to be able to eat something that's grown right there, as well as to be branded as a New York City product.
And June, author of Carrot City, is this what you hear from city to city?
Well, from city to city, I'm seeing that the startup cost for something like a hydroponic greenhouse is much higher. But looking into the future, it's going to become more and more expensive to truck foods and ship foods from other places. And so I think the cost benefit will become greater. And also, the food has much higher food value when it doesn't sit in a box in a container for a week or so before it even gets on your grocery store shelves, and then you eat it. So you're getting better food in addition to getting food that's shipped from your neighborhood.
Are there sort of second generation jobs that are created by your business? Are there satellite businesses that are springing up to support urban agriculture, suppliers to you, anything like that?
I wouldn't say specifically to us. Greenhouses have been around for a long time. They're commercially viable, technologically robust, practiced in many parts of the country. I think bringing it into the city is certainly unique, mm-hmm. but I think we would probably source a lot of our supplies from the same sort of organizations and companies that other greenhouses would.
What'd you do during hurricane turned tropical storm Irene?
We did great. The greenhouse is built to withstand very, very high wind speeds. It's a very robust structure. It's strong, engineered to handle a high wind speed. So we weren't too worried about it, and the greenhouse did great.
Well, congratulations. How can people buy Gotham Greens products?
We're available in Whole Foods, D'Agostino, Union Market, as well as on FreshDirect.com.
Viraj Puri is co-founder and CEO of Gotham Greens. He gets his free plug at the end of the segment. Gotham Greens is a 15,000-square-foot greenhouse in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. June Komisar, an architect and associate professor in the Department of Architectural Science at Ryerson University in Canada and co-author of Carrot City, Creating Places for Urban Agriculture. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.